So what's the big deal about the resurrection? You can go to any bookstore and buy any amount of books that you want. You can sit in college classrooms and listen to any number of lectures you want. You can talk to anyone who claims to be a Christian, all the Christians you want. And anyone who tells you that the resurrection of Jesus Christ never happened or is not real is not telling the truth. The fact that books, modern day philosophers, intellectuals, scientists, and so on and so forth try and discredit the resurrection of Jesus Christ does not make it less true than it is. In fact, they can't, because it's something that happened. It's the most unique thing that has ever happened in the history of earth and humanity, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Yes, we say that one of the most unique events is the birth of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, being born as a baby in Bethlehem. That He grew, that He went to the cross of Calvary to die for the sins of the world. But it cannot stop there. That isn't the end of the gospel. Because although He died for our sins, and that's wonderful good news, what happens to us when we die? I knew a man who was an atheist one day. We had many discussions in our relationship before he passed away about what was going to happen to his body, and he said absolutely nothing. When he died, there would be nothing. Nothing would happen to his body. He would just be put in the ground and that was it. I thought how sad it is that this man lived with that concept in his mind and no hope in his heart for an eternal life. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. And I know this becomes an issue of whether you believe the Bible or not, and that's a personal thing that you have to wrestle with yourself. But you see, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, He was seen after He was crucified and dead and put in the tomb. He was seen by hundreds of people and His closest friends. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is part of who we are as Christians. You see, without believing in the resurrection of Jesus, you cannot be a Christian. You can't say, well, I can be a Christian, but I don't have to believe in the resurrection. No, you can't. It's impossible. That's who Christians are. That's what they believe. That our Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, died and overcame death and rose from the dead. And goes to prepare a place for us. What's the big deal about the resurrection? Paul wrote to the Corinthians as they questioned him, "Brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel, which is the good message that I preached to you, which you've received and on which you have taken your stand." In other words, this gospel was the foundation that the Christians stood on, the solid rock. He was saying, by this gospel you're saved, if you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you. Otherwise, you just simply believed in vain. And what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. It was the most important message that Paul taught everywhere he went, that Jesus was the Messiah, that He died for our sins, and He rose on the third day, because Paul met Him personally. Paul met Him in person after He had risen from the dead. And this message was that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, that He appeared to Peter, to the 12, after that He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, and He appeared to James, to the apostles, and last of all He said He appeared to me. What's the big deal about the resurrection? It has changed the history of the world more than anything, absolutely anything, in the history of humanity. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. It completely turns upside down the concept of nothingness after death. How many of you have ever been to a movie, or You've gone maybe into a bus station or somewhere, maybe to a sporting event. You ever go through one of the turnstiles? There you stand in single file. It's a turnstile. It's also called a baffle gate. It's a form of a gate which allows one person to pass at a time. It can also be made to enforce the one-way traffic of people. Once you're in, you can't get back out. And it's restricted passage only to people who insert the coin or a ticket, or maybe they have a pass to get through. So it can be used in the case of like a paid access. And it's sometimes called a fare gate when it's used for this purpose. You go through the turnstile. You've paid your money. You have the ticket. The reason we want in is not just to go through the turnstile. It's what's on the other side that we desire. How hollow would it be if we just simply paid the price to get through the turnstile and got there and stood there and there was nothing beyond that? We would be left standing wondering why the ticket was important in the first place. And that feeling can be described as hollow, empty, or maybe duped or fooled. And you see, that's the way it is with the cross of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. When we stand single file in front of Almighty God, our ticket will be the cross of Christ. But that's not the glory that we're looking forward to. The glory we're looking forward to is life in that eternal New Jerusalem that Revelation describes coming down out of heaven. Streets of gold, rivers of life, trees of fruit and food for the people. It's part of the foundation on which the Christian stands. Secondly, it's our living hope for the future. Peter, who personally knew Jesus, who was there at the tomb on that first morning, that first Easter morning, wrote, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because in His great mercy on us, He's given us a new birth. He's born us in to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. He has born us into, birthed us into a new living hope. We are born again in Jesus Christ, believing and accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are born again. We are new creations, new creatures, and we now live with a living hope that someday we're going to follow Jesus into that eternal glory in heaven." And he says, this is an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It cannot be taken away from you, what God has given you and the living hope that we have. God just doesn't say, well, here it is, and you come and get it. Oh, whoops, sorry. No, you did something wrong, taking it away. No. It's our living hope for the future. So you see, it is our faith, our foundation of faith on which we stand. It's our living hope for the future in which we live into. We say, well, how does this work? How does the resurrection work? I want to read to you something from Daniel, chapter 12 of Daniel. When Daniel describes the end times, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress, which, by the way, Michael is the archangel. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then, describing the terrible events that progress in history in the world. But at that time, your people, I want you to listen to this, at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, your people whose name is found written in the book. The Bible describes that in Revelation as the Lamb's Book of Life. Your people will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Oh, you'll have everlasting life, all right. Everyone who has ever lived and died on this earth will have everlasting life. The question is, where are you going to spend it? The Bible says if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to spend it in eternity and glory with Jesus Christ, sitting around the throne of Almighty God, praising God all day long. That's how it works. Paul wrote to the Corinthians about this when he said, some are going to ask, How are the dead raised? What kind of body are they going to have when they're raised, when they're resurrected? What kind of body? Farmers, I want to ask you, do you sow the corn that's on the cob as seed? Do you sow a stalk and leaves in the ground? No, you sow a seed, don't you? You sow a seed. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you don't plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps a wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as He has determined, and to each kind of seed, He gives its own body. All flesh isn't the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds have another. There's heavenly bodies, there's earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. We will not have the same body as we have now. Understand that. The sun has one kind, the moon has another, the stars another, and they differ in splendor. And so will it be in the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It's the flesh, the fleshly body, but it's raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory, it's sown in weakness, it's raised in power, it's sown in a natural body, it's raised in a spiritual body. It will be a spiritual body, a renewed body. Do you know the word resurrection means to stand up again? We'll be standing up again in glory with a new body, a new resurrection body. I know many of you hope that that body is a little thinner or a little better looking than it is now, but and either way, it won't matter. We won't be caring about those kind of things because we'll be with the Lord for all eternity, and nothing will be able to touch us for all eternity. Your resurrection body will not be as another god. Don't let the people knocking on your door tell you that you'll be raised when you die. You'll become another god with your own world. That's not true. That's never been proved. It's never been proved by Jesus Christ or God's Word. Don't let someone tell you that you're going to be reincarnated into an animal. That's not true. It's never been proved. It's never been seen. And God says it's not true. Don't let someone tell you that you're going to be reincarnated into a tree. You've never heard a tree talk back to you, have you? It's not true. God says it's not true. You are an individual. God knew you before you were in your mother's womb. You live according to God's will, and when you die, you are still God's individual person, a soul that God created for His glory. And He wants you to be with Him forever, and the way He accomplishes that is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross for your sins. And then your body dies and your body's put in the ground because the sin is in the body and the flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. And when the time comes, God says, "All right, now I'm ready for you. Rise up." And your body from the grave rises up to be with the Lord forever. In a new body. You're renewed. You say, how can I know? How can I know this is going to happen? Can I know this is going to happen? This is the question. Paul wrote to the Romans. In chapter 6 of Romans, if we have been united with Christ like this in His death, he's talking about the baptism. When you're baptized into Christ. The symbolic measure of baptism is you're under the water, you're dead, and you rise up as a new person out of the water, cleansed, and you're Christ's. If we've been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. We will certainly be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again, and death no longer has mastery over Him. How can I know it will happen to me? God's Word says it will. That if you're united to Jesus Christ, you will. The Bible tells us there is no other way to be resurrected to eternal life and glory with Almighty God forever and ever, but except through Jesus Christ. Anybody who tells you there's another way will someday learn that they're wrong. Say, all right, where do I start? Where do I start? The Gospel of John tells us that God so loved the world, and that's you and I, that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in Him, that's by faith, we accept that His work on the cross was done for me, that He died for me, that my sins might be forgiven, that God might see me as a new creation and judge me as righteous. As whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the gospel Paul was talking about when he wrote to the Corinthians. The good news of Jesus Christ, that in God's mercy, and God's mercy providing a way to eternal life with Almighty God forever. God looked at us and He felt sorry for us. But He provided a way. Already before the foundations of the world, He said, I'm going to make a way for my people to be with me forever. And that way is Jesus Christ. Through believing in Him, knowing that someday, when our time comes, and the mound of dirt out in that field is ours, and the name on the tombstone is ours, we know He's not here. He's risen. Let's pray. Lord our God, I pray this morning that there's anyone here today that has accepted the ways of the world and the false philosophies that are out there, that Your Holy Spirit now reaches deep into their hearts and souls to remind them that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that He made a way for us to be in eternal glory forever and ever. Lord, we don't want anyone here today to be lost. What a shame it would be if we Christians would allow that to happen. I pray today that this word becomes relevant to all of us, that it strengthens the faith of those who already believe, and that it sparks the interest and the inquiry of those who may not. And we may not just accept what we hear, but we might look into it intently and know the truth that lies in an empty tomb. And that truth is that Jesus is risen from the dead, that He offers His hand of hope to us, and that He promises that if we're united to Him, we will be united also in the resurrection. We pray in His name. Amen. Let's close this morning by standing together and singing number 310. 310.